Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, so much for this day. Father, thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, the one that leads us, the one that guides us, the one that protects us, Father, the one that gave us new life, Lord God. And so, Lord, this day, Father, we are new creations in you. Lord, this day, Lord, all things have passed away, Lord, and Lord, a new thing has happened, Father, with us just because of you, Lord. This day, Lord, your mercies are new every morning, Father. This day, Lord God, we have hope, Father, when the world has no hope. We have blessing, Lord God, when the world, Lord God, has nothing else but, Lord, itself. Lord, we have peace, Father God, because you give it to us, Father. And Lord, we live and move and have our being in you. And so, Lord, this day, Father, we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you, Father, for calling us, Lord God, according to your plan and your purpose, Father. And Lord, we just love you, Lord God. We love you, Father. And we pray, Lord God, just this day, Lord, that you would just strengthen your people. Lord, we ask and pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would just allow us to see, Father, in the eyes of the Spirit, Lord, what it is that's going on, Father, who it is that we are in you. Lord, what it is that you have called us to, Father. Lord, this day, Lord, we just want to say, Lord, that we know, Lord, and trust you, Father. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we bind every enemy force. Lord, we bind every demonic spirit, every principality, every power that would seek to come in here, Lord. And Lord, we displace it, we remove it, Lord, we throw it out in Jesus' name. And Father, we proclaim the free flow of your Spirit in this place. We proclaim, Lord, the free flow of your Spirit in each and every life here, Father God, in all that hear this word. Lord, we pray, Lord God, for them, that everyone, Lord, that hears, Lord, the message and the truth would just live and move and have their being in you and know you, Lord, and trust you. Father, this day, Lord God, in Jesus' name, as we would open your word, Lord, we pray that your Spirit that lives in us, Lord God, would speak to each and every one of us. Father, this day, Lord God, strengthen us with your truth. And Lord, I get out of the way completely. And Lord, I invite, Lord God, the full free flow of your Spirit as we go forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 3, 2, 1.
Yay!
Okay. No, try. I did it too quick. I surprised you. Okay. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Okay, verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Okay, we'll stop there.
මාගේ පියාණන් වහන්සේ තඳනවා නැත.
ดเดี๋ยวฉันพาท่านมุสลิม
Okay, so Jesus, I really like the very first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, there's so many things in this world that seek to trouble your heart.And in fact, the scriptures admonish us, guard your heart above all things, for out of it comes the issues of life. And so Jesus, knowing us, knowing our design, knowing the way that we've been made, he gives an instruction.Let not your hearts be troubled. Okay, what is it that starts to trouble us? Why do we start getting trouble? Anyone?Okay, all right, so people start losing faith in God that He can sort out the situation. What else? Worldly things, what is happening? Yes, okay, so we're starting to see that we start getting troubled because of the external circumstance and situations that we start to face in life.So we might have had certain experiences with God, we might have had certain things happen, but then as life continues to happen to us, and we continue to go through life, and we start experiencing other things seemingly at another level, there comes a point where hearts start to get troubled.So you might have seen God faithful in taking care of you to be able to make all your expenses for some month or something like that. And you might have seen him resolve some family issue. And you trust him in those places. And then the tsunami happens. And now it's this big, massive thing that now it seems like, oh my goodness, how do I deal with this? How do I work with this? See, before, they were controllable, they were manageable, and now life continues to go, and now something happens that is seemingly so big, it's maybe too big for God in our own minds, yes? See, the place we begin to get troubled is when we begin to believe that the problem or the issue is bigger than the God we serve. And the heart begins to get troubled because you start to look at the circumstance and not have your eyes on Jesus. You remember last time we talked about Isaiah 45 verse 5 through 7? How many of you went back and looked at that a little bit more? Alright, keep your fingers in John, but go back to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 7 says, Or actually, yeah, just start at verse 5 through 7. It says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Okay, so God created the entire world that we live in. And everything that's here right now and existing at this point in time is allowed by the Spirit of God. And He allows for the existence of the devil. He allows for the work of that's taking place, even of evil in this world, because ultimately He's going to be glorified through what happens here as well. So when we talk about now the situations that even begin to come to us, we also know that God that made all of this has created the whole thing that's operating right now. And so the things that are happening, He knows, and also He is in control. But they do serve a certain purpose. Like, for example, one lesson that we learn, the larger the trials get, the bigger they get, all of that, you come to a point where you realize, you know what, whatever it is, I realize that God is in control, and I realize that I can trust Him in this situation. So, for example, go back to the disciples. They're in the boat, in the middle of the storm. Right, you have one time where Jesus is asleep. And Jesus, they're freaking out, so then they go, wake up Jesus, don't you care, we're all going to die. And Jesus gets up, he's like, what are you bugging me for? And it's like, this whole thing's under control. Okay, here, silence the wind, silence the waves, everything's done, calm. They're like, who is this guy? Okay, another time, Jesus isn't even in the boat. They're rowing themselves, and they're sailing themselves, and now there's storms up, and Jesus is walking on the water. Now, they're freaking out again. They're freaking out. They're scared. And this time they're scared, and then they see him walking, and they're, oh my goodness, a ghost, and they don't know what this is, and they're all thinking they're going to die again. You notice that every time they're in the middle of a trial, they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to die.
And what is me? I'm going to be a
You'd hate to go sailing with these guys because every time you get into the boat, you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. I know some people like that actually with work. You'd hate to get into a boat with work with them because every time, this is the biggest problem they've ever seen in their life, they don't know how to deal with it. Oh my gosh, we're going to die. Oh my gosh, how can we deal with the situation? Oh my gosh, this is not going to ever get fixed. We're all going to die. So another time, Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter says, oh, look, there's Jesus. He says, no, if it's you, really you, Lord, okay, let me come out to you. Ask me to come out to you. And Jesus then says, yeah, come on out. And he's walking on the water. So an amazing moment of time right there, because in the middle of the storm, the miraculous is happening, Jesus is there, he's in control, and Peter is, for a moment in time, seeing that he's not looking at anything but Jesus and doing the miraculous in that situation. And he stopped thinking about, oh my gosh, we're going to die, oh my gosh, a ghost, oh my gosh, whatever the situation is. And he's looking to Jesus. And the moment that he stops looking at Jesus and starts looking all around him again, what does he start saying again? Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. He forgot how he took the last 50 steps walking on the water. He forgot that he's already doing the miraculous. He forgot that Jesus called him out. He forgot everything that has just happened 2 minutes before. He forgot all of this and his mind is stuck at that moment in time, can't get his eyes off of the waves and everything around him, even though he took 10 steps on the water right before that, and the only thing that he can see is this immediate circumstance where he might be in trouble. And the only thought that's screaming in his head is, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. But he does call out to Jesus in that lapse. Jesus grabs him. They get into the boat. And again, the question that Jesus has to these guys is, where is your faith? And see, again, two different boat experiences. But both reinforcing the same exact message that God is in control of the storm in your life. And when the storm is coming, that no matter what it is, He's in control. So God allows these different things to happen and to come our way so that in the process we learn that He in fact is in control. And church history has it such that Peter, at the end of his life, when he actually would die for Christ Jesus, he embraced that. He went towards that. And so when Peter was martyred, he went towards his death, and then even with that process, he even said, look, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down because I'm not even worthy to be crucified like Him. So for Peter, in the progression of life in Christ Jesus, in life with God, there came a point where that lesson had been learned and he was no longer thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. In fact, there came the point where death had certainly lost its sting. Death had lost its sting. It couldn't hurt him anymore. The fear of it is no longer had a grip on him, no longer had a hold on his life. You remember again the Garden of Gethsemane? Another point where Peter learned this. Circumstance and situation. Now here's Jesus and a problem is coming up and he says, I don't even know this guy. Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And he realized even at that moment, after all of those years, 3 years with Jesus, he still couldn't see. And when he came to that realization, he wept. But there was a change when the Spirit of God came upon the people of God at Pentecost. Where he became a new man, he became a new person, he became a person that was bold and stood up for Christ. Where in Acts chapter 2, where it's like where he's standing before the people and he's like, it doesn't, you can, anything you could do to me wouldn't matter. I'm going to give you the truth. So there comes a point in our lives, in our walk, in our journey with Christ Jesus, where we are changed. There comes a point where your heart is no longer troubled with the circumstances and the situations of life. And in fact, each of these things have served a purpose if you can see it in the dimension of spirit.
Yang kisi aramunakata ape jeevithaye
So Romans 8:28, where it says that all things work together for the good of those that love God, that have been called according to His purpose. You realize that all of these things have served to help you go deeper in your dimension and your walk in spirit with Christ. And you've gone deeper and deeper with Him, and now you trust Him, now you know Him, now you know that He's faithful. And so when you face things in life, it's no longer, oh my gosh, I'm going blind. Now, if you still struggle with that, just look at the miraculous steps you've finished taking. You remember with David when Goliath was there? And all of Israel was freaking out. So they'd go out to the battle lines and they'd stand there, and here come the Philistines with Goliath. And Goliath would stand there and then he'd start shouting things at them. And what would they do? They'd all turn around and run away. Why would they run away? Because they see this 9 foot plus giant with all of his armor, and the only thought that's running in their head is, what's the thought in their head? Oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And they're running the other way. Now what did David do in that situation? David remembered the bear. David remembered the lion. David remembered the miraculous that God had already brought him through. He had already been somewhere with his God. See, all of these guys forgot where God had brought them from. They forgot that if it was not even for God's miraculous hand, they would have still all been in Egypt. They forgot all of the miraculous victories, all of the times that God had shown Himself strong. The only thing they could think about is a 9 foot giant. But David remembered his God, his faithfulness, and him being able to take him through any situation. And so when this guy was saying stuff, all David said is, look, I've already had the bear, I've already had the lion, this guy will be no different. And sure enough, what happened? Even today, when people have a big problem, they're like, oh, this is my Goliath. They're nothing for God, those kind of things. And in fact, God allowed for Goliath, because in allowing for Goliath, He revealed the hearts of other people. You remember David's older brother? When Samuel had gone to anoint the king, and Samuel saw his older brother first, and Samuel said, "Oh, this guy must be the king of Israel. Look at this guy. He's a big, strong, good-looking guy." And God said, "Nope, this is not the one." He said, "Don't be looking at the outward appearance. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." Later on, you see the guy's heart revealed. When Goliath showed up, he was one of all the rest of these guys whose heart melted, saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to die," running the other way. And in fact, he got mad at David for his trust in God. So he said, "Have you just come out to watch the battles and everything?" And he was mad at David. You know, because sometimes when people's own hearts are revealed, they get mad at you. So don't worry, have compassion for them, but continue to believe and trust in your God. So David, though, it was revealed with time where he was really coming from. And David had the heart of a king. David had a heart that trusted in God. And no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, he knew God, and he knew that God would take him through. And you think about all of the battles that David faced, all of the wars, all of the trials, all of these attacks, and he didn't die in the battle. So he came through all of that. So all the way back to Goliath, he had many, many times. Okay, so we trust God. Okay, so Jesus, back to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay, so this is an instruction. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe, ye believe in God, believe also in me. So we believe in God, we believe in Jesus. When that's cemented in your soul, then you come to this place where no matter what it is, you know that God is in control and you can believe and trust it. And you know, this will get tested. You know, part of life is to make that decision and that choice and walk it out, and then for that choice to be attacked and to be tested and to be proved and seen for what it is. So recently I even had my own situation where it wasn't one, but it was six different things all at once.
Yeah,
So for me, it would have been like, okay, I'm in the middle of the storm. There's a hole in the boat. One side in the back, they started a fire on the other side of the boat. And then there's another big boat coming to hit this boat, and the storm's coming. I have a friend, very good friend in India, that said that trouble is like bananas, it comes in bunches. So it comes all at once, just like that. And in that situation too, when you're in the middle of that, do you still believe? Or has it come to the point where now, okay, now I'm not so sure? Jesus said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Okay, in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him.
देखिए इसी किए वो था तो दाख पाले अंतर माँ के पिया ने माँ से कि घोड़े को वापस खाने थे ऐसे लोग ये ना माँ से निबलार किए ना ऐसे माँ के साथ निबलार खाने आप किए ना करना दिल से यानी मामा को उस निबलार खाने आप किए ना करना काम माँ से तो चलो निबलार कितने पीने से मामा नया था एक निबलार माला कट गान नहीं माया में स्थान इट माँ के निबलार दान दो जाए की से थॉमस के स्वामी ने वो पतंग भी यानी से एक जाए आप ही नोटा नहीं हो माँ के दान ने कहूँ गया माँ से की गई ऐसे कहाँ से वो कितने ना से एक माँ के पीछे पैर की जीवन है तो मामा या माँ काम में कटी बिल्कुल सभी से भी किया माँ से ऐसे फैमिली नहीं ऐसे निबला माँ ऐसे ना लगता ना माँ के पिया ने माँ से तादुन ना आया था मेटल पटा निबला उन्होंने से वो आने लगी जाकर आप इसे आई थी से
ओके Again, even when Thomas was talking to Jesus, he said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, how can we know the way? Right? Again, Thomas is looking for something external. Thomas is looking for something physical. And Jesus is constantly working towards getting him, us, to focus on the dimension of spirit. Rather than the external. Because also when you focus on the external and the circumstance, you always get wrapped up into your heart being troubled in the world. So Thomas is looking for a physical way. And Jesus has to bring him to the realization it's a way of spirit, it's a way in him. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Says, I am it. This is you're looking at it. I'm it. And when your eyes are set on Jesus, You notice how all the rest will grow strangely dim? When Peter's eyes were set on Jesus in the storm, what was he doing? What else was happening? What else was going on? When his eyes were set on Jesus, everything else was fine. The circumstance may not have changed, but the way that he related to it had. The circumstance may not change, but the way that he goes through it now has. And when he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking on the circumstances again, then again he went back into the same way that everybody else goes through life, freaking out, thinking. So we get to use the free will that God has put in us. You know, at any moment in time, at any second in time, you can focus your eyes and your attention and your heart on Christ Jesus. Right now, this very moment in time, no matter what it is that you look at or you face, your eyes can be put on Jesus. And your reality changes. The book of Acts is an amazing book of people who had their eyes set on Christ Jesus. And they lived out an amazing adventure in this life. Their lives were not boring. Their lives were an incredible adventure. And they made some fantastic eternal friends along the way. They found family in Christ all over the world. And they lived a fulfilled life. So Jesus, when he says, "I am the way, the truth and the life," he's a journey. And you know something I've noticed about the world? The world will constantly seek to grab you and keep you right here. Stop, stay, right here. Whereas Jesus calls us to go with him. And maybe there's just something in our mindset, aside from him, that wants to stay. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Where Jesus is speaking with Elijah and Moses. And Peter says, "Oh wow, this is amazing. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles." Let's stay here. But Jesus, did he stay there? No. He went down into the valley and he kept moving in the journey that God had for him. So life is a journey in Christ Jesus. And there are highs and there are lows. There is joys and there is sorrows. There is victories and then there is defeats. And in all of this, you learn to love and adore the God that you serve. You learn to trust Him. You learn that He is faithful. You learn that He will bring you through anything. And you learn that you can go to Him with everything. There's even one where with Joshua in the Bible, when he's in a war, God literally stops the sun in the sky for a whole day. And even people that study the rotation of the planets and everything, even to this day, they say that there you can go back and you can check and you can see that the sun, there's a missing day basically in the rotation of the planets in the world. So actually God did twice he played with the sun. Because it stopped for about a day with Joshua, and then one time with Hezekiah, he pushes it back a few degrees. And God will literally move heaven and earth for the sake of His people. For the sake of Hezekiah, the entire world had to watch the sun go backwards and then go forwards again. Point is, God loves you. And if you'll stop the sun in the sky for Joshua, if you'll move it backwards and forwards for Hezekiah, He will stop heaven and earth just for you. So don't be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. This one will be playing in your head now. Don't let that be your faith. Don't let your faith be wrapped up in your circumstance. I know enough and more people in this world that go to buildings on Sunday whose lives are wrapped up in their circumstance. If things are going well, praise God, God is blessing me. And if things are going badly, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. 20 years, 30 years, and they've still never learned to trust Jesus. Their hope is in the world, their minds are in the world. And when the fires of life come, they fall apart. God is calling you to a deep relationship with Him. He's calling you to an amazing adventure in Him. He's calling you to trust Him and to know that He is faithful. And as you continue on the journey with Christ Jesus, rather than the statement that the world makes, you know your God. So no matter what it is that comes your way, rather than it falling apart, you can look in anticipation knowing that God is there. You can have an entirely different response. In fact, rather than, oh my gosh, I'm going to die, how about 3, 2, 1? 3, 2, 1? Sure, why not try that one? Because that's a good one. Because you know that God will take you through. Okay, so we'll try it. Ready?
Yes.
Everyone, ready?
Yes.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Very nice. Okay. Very, very good. So praise God. And we'll stop there.